And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. It's my honor and my pleasure to be with you. In fact, this past weekend, I was at Pastor Jeff Shreve's church, First Baptist Church of Texarkana. Had a wonderful time with them. Of course, he is one of the hosts here on American Family Radio, and really enjoyed spending time with him and his great congregation out there. So grateful for the hospitality and the opportunity to stand in front of the holy desk and proclaim the unadulterated, or behind the holy desk and proclaim the unadulterated word of the living God. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. And thank all of you American Family Radio listeners for your prayers, for your support, for this network, and for the American Family Association of Ministries, because we couldn't do it without you, and our country desperately needs this ministry, folks. So thank you, okay? Continue to keep us in your prayers, please. And by all means, keep this host in your prayers, because I certainly do solicit your prayers. You can never get too much of prayer. And you can never have too many people praying for you. No, that's enough prayer. We don't need that. We don't need any more people. No, you need all the sincere believers that you can praying for you. And particularly when you're speaking out and you know that the enemy hates you for it and would love to try to destroy you or hurt you or harm you in some way. So thank you all for your prayers. Okay, look, I wanted to wait to produce this program until after the debate last night. So we have the debate, we've got Iran's attack on Israel, and we want to cover them both. So let me begin first with Iran's attack on Israel. Nearly 200 rockets, I think 180 is the last count we have, from Iran, missiles were sent into Israel. But thank God, up until now at least, we have no Israeli casualties. Up until now, the damage seems to be minor. In other words, the effort seems to have fallen fairly flat. However, there are two aspects to warfare. One is the kinetic aspect, in which you're trying to kill people and break things. But the other is the psychological aspect, in which you're trying to disrupt people and destabilize people and dishearten people. And Iran is certainly doing everything they can to convince the Israeli citizenship that they are going to be driven into the sea and that eventually they're going to be wiped out and that Iran's never going to stop until they destroy Israel. That's not going to happen. God is not going to allow that to happen, but I think they're going to continue to try to undermine the morale of the people and convince them that it's going to happen. Israel was reestablished on May 14, 1948, after 2,500 years without a nation. And I believe this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And God is going to fulfill his plan and promises to Abraham. So they can just forget it. But of course, the devil is the great deceiver. And the first one he deceives, of course, is himself. So he's convinced that he can do what God has said can never be done. And we know that because, of course, he's going to have a final confrontation with God, really, if you, in a sense, two final confrontations with God, one at the end of the Great Tribulation, one at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. And he's going to fail miserably at both and end up in the lake of fire in hell, bound forever in suffering and anguish and pain for all of the misery that he has produced on the earth. So Israel is going to be victorious. But we need to be praying for Israel, praying for Benjamin Netanyahu in particular, because his bold and unwavering stance of defense of Israel is something that particularly this administration and many other leaders around the world who claim some modicum of support for Israel, and in many cases that's all it is a modicum, They really don't like Israel, and they certainly don't like Benjamin Netanyahu because of his great stand in behalf of his nation. And so we need to be praying for him too. We know how he's been mistreated by this administration. Remember when he came to speak to a joint session of Congress, Kamala Harris went to a sorority party, which just, she was sending the signal to her left-wing anti-Semitic supporters, Israel is a genocidal nation and Israel is a apartheid nation. They'll buckle and fold because they don't, their heart's not really in it, folks. That's the bottom line. Their heart's not really in it. So let's be praying for Israel. And Israel is going to respond, and they say the consequences to Iran are going to be painful. And good, they should be. I did an interview with Yael Eckstein, who is the head of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And I said to her, you know, we have forgotten a very important statement that was made after Hitler attempted to wipe out the Jewish people. And the statement was simply a two-word statement, but it's powerful. Never again. Never again. And I believe Netanyahu is operating on that principle. And I think that the Biden administration has forgotten that principle. We as Christians would do well to remember it and to pray to God that that's exactly the reality that Israel deals with. Never again. Never again will they be lined up and carted away and put in gas chambers and lined up in holes and shot en masse and dumped in holes. And never again will the things that the Nazi regime did ever happen to the Jewish people, where they took their teeth and their bones and their skin and made furniture out of it. I mean, just horrendous. I hate to even repeat some of the stuff, but we need to repeat it because we need to remember what it was that formed the backdrop for the formation of the nation of Israel. An all-out attempt to completely annihilate the Jewish people, to wipe them from the face of the earth. And Yael reminded me that the population lost during World War II of the Jewish people has never been recovered. They've never recovered those 6 million people. They've never, in other words, grown to the numbers that they had during that time. Okay, well, we shall await to see now what happens as a result of this attack. But now Israel is dealing with Iran. They're dealing with Hezbollah in Lebanon, which is in Iran's satellite, really. And they're dealing with Hamas. But we know God is going to give them the victory no matter what their enemies do. We need to pray also that we have leadership in our country that is going to stand with Israel. We as Christians understand the biblical mandate and the blessing that comes with it. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. But we need to have people in office in our country who understand that blessing and appropriate that blessing rather than bringing a curse on our country by looking for various ways to undermine Israel. The best line I've heard in the commentary in fact, the best line I've heard really was a line that J.D. Vance said during the debate, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but he said, in effect, the best policy that America can have is to support Israel in their effort to do whatever they need to do in order to assure the survival and defense of their nation. You know, it's easy for some American president to sit back and say, "Oh no, you've got to negotiate. You've got to offer a ceasefire when you don't have missiles raining down on your country." Because I guarantee any president worth a salt, if some nation rained down missiles on some city in our country or some the region of our country, that nation might be facing extinction. And the American people wouldn't be saying, "Oh, well, let's negotiate. I mean, after all, they only fired 200 missiles at us." And of course, our nation, compared to Israel is a sliver, a mere sliver of our nation. And 200 missiles raining into America, you can imagine what that would produce, what it ought to produce. well, 200 missiles into a tiny country like Israel. So, and by the way, we're coming up to October 7th, the commemoration of October 7th, and the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is giving 1,200 flags to any pastors who want them to commemorate the 1,200 deaths that happened on October 7th, the men, the innocent men, women, and children that were murdered by these terrorists, by these vicious, bloodthirsty terrorists who, in a surprise attack, came across the border and basically just tried to wipe people out, just drag them out of their homes, kill babies, raped women, just all kinds of atrocities committed. That's what started this present conflagration. Not Israel, but Hamas. Okay, let's get to then the debate, shall we? And this does come up, in fact. But the first thing, before I get to the debate, let me say this. These debates are always, if they're two moderators, they're always three against one. There's the person that the Republican is debating, and then they're the moderators. Now, my understanding is CBS gave assurances that they would not fact check the candidates. They would let the candidates fact check each other. But they could not help themselves. Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan could not help themselves. Now, Tim Walz is a radical leftist. I was just reading about some of the stuff that he's been done in Minnesota. I mean, everybody knows about, you know, what they call him about, you know, putting tampons in boys' bathrooms, which is just insane. But, you know, he's also implementing critical race theory in the whole Minnesota school system. You know, you kind of wonder, where are the common sense people of Minnesota? How are they putting up with somebody? How does somebody like this get elected? Or do they just cheat their way into that the same way they will cheat their way into anything else that they want? Because, yeah, I mean, he's got a very, very radical approach to their so-called gender-affirming care, to critical race theory. The man is a Marxist. There's just no question about it. He is a Marxist. And he tried very hard during the debate to hide it, but you can't really hide it. By the way, J.D. Vance won the debate, hands down. I think it wasn't even close. But he talked about, you know, the problem is we treat housing like a commodity. Well, it is a commodity. In a free country, in a free market country, housing is not owned by the state. It's owned by private individuals. It's built by private individuals. It's sold by private individuals, and private individuals buy it. But the implication when he said, you know, we've got to stop treating housing like a commodity, was basically what he was saying is government needs to take over housing to make sure that everyone has a house that the government approves. First of all, that everyone has a house, government should basically guarantee that. We heard this coming out of the Democrat Party and the left before. And then that everyone should have a house that government approves of. I mean, the man is a rank Marxist. I dare say he's a communist. He's a closet communist. But you know, the left has learned something. If you avoid the label, if you avoid calling yourself something, but you do all of the things that label entails, then you can get away with it because people don't really know you're doing it. So basically, you don't call yourself a Marxist, you don't call yourself a socialist, you don't call yourself a communist, you just implement policies that are in accord with Marxism and socialism and communism. And maybe nobody will even notice. Well, we're noticing. And that was just one tell right there. We're treating housing like it's a commodity. Well, housing is a commodity. Food is a commodity. Now, of course, we Americans want able-bodied people to be able to work and live and have housing and all of that. What we don't want is the government stepping in and trying to be the chief cook, bottle washer, babysitter, housing provider, clothing provider, God, if you will, to the people, because we know where that leads. Where it leads to is to tyranny and slavery. That's where it leads. This statement that it was attributed to Thomas Jefferson, scholars say Thomas Jefferson didn't really say it, but I think it, no matter who you attribute it to, or if you attribute it to none of the founding fathers, I think it is a very accurate expression of their sentiment about government. The government that is big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you have. And that's the kind of government Tim Walz wants and Kamala Harris wants, because they're both Marxists. Let's get to a couple of issues that they discussed here. Let me just tell you, they fact-checked only J.D. Vance. They didn't fact-check Tim Walz at all, and he just lied through his teeth. They didn't fact-check him at all. And then they turned off J.D. Vance's mic. They didn't turn off Tim Walz's mic at all, but they turned off J.D. Vance's mic. Said they can't hear you because your mic has been turned off. First of all, they checked him on Springfield, Ohio, because he was talking about the impact of illegal immigrants on Springfield. Those Haitians that have legal status are people that Biden has allowed into the country through this little app that he's created, which is really nothing but a bypass of legal immigration. It's just bypassing the system. And basically, you fill that out, and it gives you a get-out-of-jail-free card. You present that stupid thing at the border, and okay, come right on in. It's nothing but a glorified illegal immigration mechanism. That's all it is. And so when she says that, it's like they're as if they've gone through the long process, the arduous process of obtaining the privilege of coming to our country and staying legally, as if they've gone through that. They had not. They've gone through this little stupid abbreviated piece of nonsense that Biden created in order to make it look like a lot more people are coming in legally in my administration. Well, yeah. If you make legality the ability to recite your ABCs in your own language, I mean, what a joke. Then she checked him on climate change because they, of course, said President Trump said climate change is a hoax. It is a hoax. It is a hoax. It's a hoax by the left to get power over you and me and everybody else. Because after all, you have to give them power over your finances, over your housing, over everything you eat, because you have to do it to save the planet. If you want to save the planet, you're going to have to learn to eat bugs. You know, if you really want to save the planet, you're going to have to learn to ride your bicycle from here to California when you want to go to California. Well, I don't know who wants to go to California these days. Well, the weather's still nice. But it is a hoax, because the problem with the world is not global warming. The problem with the world is moral cooling. And what is going to bring the judgment of God is not failing to recycle, but failing to repent. Now, that's right off the Holy Ghost presses, folks. What is going to bring the judgment of God is not failure to recycle, but failure to repent. And she wants to check in. Here's what she said. The consensus, the overwhelming consensus of scientists is that climate change is real. Yeah, we were told by all the scientists that 6-foot distancing was the way to stop the spread of COVID, and that staying in was the way to stop the spread of COVID, and that the so-called vaccination, which turned out to just be a shot, would stop you from getting COVID and stop you from spreading COVID. Scientists told us all that. And they were all lies. So please spare me the overwhelming consensus of science. You know, the American Pediatric Association has gone wholly woke, wholly left. And it's sad. These are the people who are charged with trying to take care of our children or help us to take care of our children and keep our children healthy. And they're all caught up in wokeness politics and all this leftist nonsense. Take your child to a pediatrician, you got to ask, well, I mean, are you one of these affirmative action woke got in because we needed more who look like you or more of your gender or whatever? Or are you bona fide? And were you an A student? Were you an outstanding person who earned everything you were given? I mean, it's sad to be able to have to ask that kind of question for somebody who you may be expecting or need help with saving the life of your child. So please, don't give me the overwhelming consensus of scientists is as if I'm supposed to say, well, then that changes everything. Okay, we bow down. We bow down. We're not worthy. The scientists have spoken. Give me a break. The only one we say that to is when God speaks. When the Lord is in his holy temple, that all the earth keeps silent before him. God's word is supreme. The word of some scientists is not. We learned from Anthony Fauci, scientists can be just as corrupt and full of lies as anybody else can. And then they fact checked him on housing. This was Brennan when he said that illegal immigration is driving up housing costs. And she said, well, there are many factors leading to housing costs. I mean, well, are you in the debate or are you moderating? Look, these people on the left do not understand basic economics. When you increase demand for any product, you cause supply. When you increase demand to a certain point, you cause supply to be inadequate. And when the supply is incapable of meeting demand, the demand, what happens? The price of the commodity goes up. And you've got all these illegal immigrants. They're taking up a house, taking up hotel space. They're putting them in so-called public housing. They're trying to figure out where to put these people. Obviously, those who can't, if they get a little job, they're competing for whatever apartments there are. Of course, you are pushing up, and those who can, they're coming together sometimes in groups to buy houses. Of course, you're going to cause an increase in housing because you're increasing the demand without a concomitant increase in supply. I mean, it's just basic economics, folks. And we don't need this woman, Margaret Brennan, to tell us that, oh, there are many factors leading to the increase in housing. Yeah, we understand that, but supply and demand is certainly one of those factors with who knows how many millions of illegal aliens, because they're not immigrants and they're not migrants, as Walz continued to call them. How many of these folks we brought into the country over the last 4 years? Okay, so the debate wasn't fair, but nevertheless, J.D. Vance won it hands down, in my view. On the Middle East, J.D. Vance made clear that what we need to do, and I think I've already quoted his, and frankly, Walz, all he was able to do is repeat these bromides. We are supporting Israel, and we stand with Israel. Please, let me tell you something, folks. The Democrat Party is absolutely rife. It is infected with anti-Semitism. Infected with it. So then we're going to talk about Hurricane Helene and climate change. And of course, this is where they fact check J.D. Vance about Donald Trump saying climate change is a hoax. But J.D. Vance, again, made a very compelling point. He said, if you really believe that climate change is an existential threat to the future of the planet, why in the world are you passing policies that ship more and more of our manufacturing overseas, which was a Democrat idea in the first place, Bill Clinton's, what was it? I don't recall the name of it, but you all remember his great plan for creating a better trade relationship between America and the rest of the world. And all we have done is to allow our manufacturing base to be destroyed. Destroyed, folks. All the manufacturing we did in this country that provided so many great jobs for so many Americans who raised their families are gone. And now the question is, how many of those jobs can we get back? And Donald Trump was committed to bringing those jobs back. And when he brought that up, I remember Barack Obama ridiculing the idea, saying, well, how are you going to do that? Where are you going to get the jobs? Where are you going to get the jobs? As if that was the most ridiculous idea he ever heard. But that's the difference between a patriot who loves our country and wants the best for our country and looking for ways to make life better for the American people and a leftist globalist who could care less and somehow thinks he's superior to everybody else and knows, as we were told many times, America's got to get used to, we've got to get used to less. I remember Barack Obama said, and this is not an exact quote, of course, but it's very, very close. He said, you know, America, you know, we can't expect the rest of the world to just watch while we drive SUVs and eat whatever we want and live however we want while the rest of the world goes lacking. Well, it's not our fault that the rest of the world's going lacking. Because if the rest of the world did what we are doing, guess what? Their standard of living would rise the same way ours did. You know, economic laws work, and they work for everybody who puts them to work, every nation that puts them to work. But you've got some nations that don't want to put freedom to work. They want socialism. They want Marxism. They want fascism. They want totalitarianism. They want tyranny, or at least their leaders do. And then they wonder, well, why is America doing so well? It must be because they exploited us. No. It's because we exploited our own talents, gifts, abilities, drive, determination, inventiveness, innovations, and the rewards that come with individual achievement. We exploited that, not their countries. But of course, these people want government to have more power over everybody and over everything. And so Walt said, you know, we're producing natural gas, we're producing oil. Yeah, but when Trump was in office, we were energy independent and we were a net energy exporter. We've now become energy dependent. We've depleted our oil reserves, sold oil to China, given Putin tremendous leverage in Europe because now he's a major energy provider, enriched Iran by $100 billion by lifting sanctions and allowing them to put their oil back on the market while we are no longer energy independent. Now, who does that to their own country? What sense does that make? And I think that J.D. Vance made that point very, very well. And Waltz really had nothing to say. In fact, some people have said, you know, it almost sounded like by the time this was over, Waltz was ready to endorse J.D. Vance because he agreed with him so much. I thought J.D. Vance was very gracious toward Waltz, a little too gracious from my perspective because I don't think he deserved that, but very gracious toward him. We could probably sit down together. I don't think he could, but because I think Waltz, in his heart of hearts, is a radical Marxist. And by the way, speaking of radical Marxists, because I don't want to run out of time before I get to this, he was, and this is not in order, but I want to come to this now. He was asked about his visit to his claim that he was in China during Tiananmen Square. And I'll tell you, it was painful. I mean, it was just painful to watch because what it said to me, folks, is that the man is a liar. Because he could have dealt with it in one sentence. I misspoke. I was there shortly after, but it all came together in my mind. And I apologize for that. Boom. Done. But oh, no. Oh, no. The people who know me, they know I care. They know what I've done. They know who I am. And he went around and around on this. Everybody who's in his community, they know what I've done for my community. Folks, that's the mark of a liar. It really is. That's the mark of a liar. Because instead of just going straight at it and saying, I made a mistake, I misspoke, I conflated my presence there with Tiananmen Square because I was there shortly thereafter. My apologies for that. Boom. Next question. But oh, no. Oh, my God. People know me. They know who. And by the time he was done with all that and finally said, I was there in the summer and I learned a lot about politics. And it didn't even make sense when he finally got to the point of saying, and not really not saying, but approaching saying, which is I made a mistake. He never really came out and just said that. But he did, you know, kind of approach that toward the end. But he looked like, I mean, he looked guilty by the time he got there, which told me he intentionally said that because he thought it made him look good to say that. He intentionally told that lie, just like he lied about his military service. Not lied about his military service, but I should say he lied to his fellow service men and women, but he told them he was going to deploy with them to Afghanistan. But when the opportunity to run for Congress came up, he decided that he would retire instead. And here again, he didn't have to make the commitment. He made the commitment. He should have kept it. But okay. You made the commitment. You didn't keep it. All you have to do is say, or not that it would be enough for me, but it would have been better to say, you know what? That's one of the great regrets of my life. Now, of course, I did get elected to Congress, so I'm still trying to serve my country that way. But I saw an opportunity to serve. And frankly, if I had it to do over again, I would have just kept my word to my troops, gone, and then come back and seeing what was available to me in serving the country in the political realm. But you know, we in some cases we don't get do-overs. There's every person watching. I mean, he could have said something. Every person watching me right now can look back and say, boy, there's some decisions I wish I'd made differently. And I think most people would have had sympathy for it because the man that served in the military, but instead of him handling it in a regretful way, I served my country honorably, you know, sticking his chest out like, yeah, well, you ended on a very sour note, which is as a liar and a person whose word cannot be trusted. But so this perfectly consistent with this whole Tiananmen Square thing. I think he's one of these people who his own accomplishments is not enough in his mind. His own accomplishments are not enough in his mind. And so he has to embellish. He has to lie in order to make himself feel better about himself. And then he thinks make himself look better in the eyes of other people. That is a very vacuous person. And, you know, in my view, a person very unworthy of public service. I just wanted to get that one out there because that's an important one to bring up. So they also talked about, let's see, what have we covered so far? The Middle East, we talked about climate change, illegal immigration, we've talked about. Let me just say again, J.D. Vance talked about the fentanyl coming across the border. He talked about the illegal weapons coming across the border. He talked about the pressure on housing. He talked about the general instability and disruption and chaos that allowing these millions of invaders across the border has accomplished. And again, you have to ask, who wants that for your country? Well, the left does. The Democrat Party wants it because they feel this is the pathway to power and they don't care what happens to America in the process. That's the bottom line. But here's what I want to underscore about what Walls had to say. He used two words, and these are code words. He said, you know, we've got to stop dehumanizing these people. These are human beings. And then he said, we've got to stop demonizing people. Those are code words for racist. He didn't want to use it, but that's what he was doing. He was basically calling J.D. Vance a racist by saying, you are dehumanizing these people. You are demonizing these people. No, we're not dehumanizing them. We're demonizing them. They don't belong in our country. They don't have a right to be here, and they need to go back. And they were asking J.D. Vance about how would you implement mass deportation, and he said, we'd begin with the criminals. I'm fine with that. But mass deportation is what we've got to do in order to undo the tremendous damage that the Democrat Party has done under the Biden administration. It is that plain and simple. And I really believe that when that process begins, a lot of people will self-deport. You've got to make it uncomfortable for them to stay here. And J.D., by the way, in the process, he mentioned this so-called bill that, you know, would allow thousands a day to come in. It would not trigger closing the border to that thousands pouring across the border until you reach a certain number. And I forget exactly what the number was. But just the concept. We'll allow this many illegal aliens across the border. And then when it becomes that many, more than that, then we'll do something about it. I mean, what kind of stupidity is that? The border is closed. You may not come in unless you get in line the same way others who have come into the country legally have gotten in line to do so. Period. End of discussion. There is nothing else to talk about. But he mentioned the Chamber of Commerce. And I tell you what, folks, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce ought to be ashamed of themselves. As far as I'm concerned, as an organization, they are traitor to this country for greed. Forgive me, folks, and please forgive me if this seems a little harsh, but I've just watched them over the years. I believe that they'd import child slaves if they thought it would help them. I mean, these people they have no sense of patriotism, no sense of love of our country, and no sense of concern for the average American and what illegal aliens do to Americans. Not just the crime, or as J.D. Vance talked about, housing, but just the pressure. Look, Roxbury, Massachusetts, predominantly black community. I never lived there, but I lived around there, and my church was close to that area when I was in Boston. They had to close up their community center. They had to close the community center to the residents of Roxbury in order to accommodate illegal aliens. 7 schools in New York had to close their gyms in order to accommodate illegal aliens so that the students and members of the community could not use the gym because the gym was being used to house illegal aliens. This stuff is happening all over the country. Talk about the hotel space being taken up in New York. You know, giving people phones, giving people vouchers, giving people clothes, paying for their transportation. I mean, it's a whole governmental industry with your taxpayer dollars and mine. But guess who loses in the process? Not the elitist running the system, but the average American who's got to navigate around that. And the Democrat Party doesn't seem to understand that at all. Well, obviously, they talked about the killing of unborn babies. They talked about gun violence and they talked about democracy. Let me hit those three very, very quickly. Obviously, J.D. Vance, in my view, made an argument for why you can't have unfettered killing of unborn babies and argued that the Minnesota law allows a baby to die, born alive, an intended abortion, to die, and allows the doctor to withhold medical care from that baby to allow it to die because it was an intended abortion. Waltz denied that. Waltz is a liar because Democrats have been asking for that kind of approach. And Barack Obama talked about it. He was the champion for that approach when he was in the state legislature in Illinois, which is one of the reasons why when people say, well, you ought to support Barack Obama, he's a black man, please. I stand with Jesus. Barack Obama was standing with the devil. because Barack Obama was saying if a baby is born alive but it was an intended abortion, the baby must die in order to fulfill the will of the mother and the doctor. Now, to me, that is a monster. That is a heartless, evil individual. And you want me to vote for him because he's got some sort of superficial complexion that I'm supposed to relate to? No, thank you. So Waltz is of the same ilk. But here, and I hope that all of you will take this to heart. And we've got to change the debate. We've allowed ourselves to be stuck in a debate that says we're not against women. We're not against women. We're not against women. We're not against women. We've got to change the debate. Waltz said something that was very good for his side. He said, we're not pro-abortion. We're pro-woman. And you know what we need to be saying? We're not anti-abortion. We're pro-baby. We're pro-baby. Are we ever going to have a discussion about these babies who are going through the same stages of life that you and I went through? Are we ever going to talk about the people who were born in difficult circumstances, sometimes difficult socially or economically, sometimes even difficult physically, who have gone on to accomplish great things in life? Are we going to talk about the James Robinsons in life who was a victim, his mother was a victim of rape, and he's the product, one of the greatest evangelists this nation has ever produced? Are we going to talk about the E.W. Jackson, born into a broken home, placed in foster care at 14 months old? I'm not the greatest of anything in the country that's ever produced, but I'm a productive, rational human being who's accomplished some good things in life. I would have been the perfect candidate for Planned Parenthood to convince my mother that baby's never going to have a real chance. Just go ahead and kill it now and get it over with. I mean, we're playing God with people's lives. And we've got to begin to make that argument and begin to prick the consciences of women so they realize your natural inclination is to protect your baby. And these leftists are trying to convince you that, no, you should celebrate the killing of your own progeny. Folks, it's not even natural, let alone spiritual. Okay, maybe we don't need to say quite all of that right now, but we've got to begin to take the argument in that direction if we want to be a pro-life culture. Of course, on gun violence, J.D. Vance pointed out, most crimes committed in this country are committed with illegal weapons. Law-abiding citizens are not committing, that's axiomatic, but the guns of law-abiding citizens are not being used to commit crime. The people who go out and get their guns, go through the process, the legal process, getting their guns, gun owners like me, like many of you probably listening, we're not committing the crimes. He said illegal weapons are coming over as a result of illegal aliens coming across our border with the sanction of the Biden administration. So we need to crack down on the illegal use of firearms instead of cracking down on law-abiding citizens and telling them you can't have this a magazine that has more than 5 rounds in it, and you can't have an assault weapon. And I define an assault weapon as what? A weapon that maybe looks like an M16, like an AR-15, looks like an M16 or an M17. And that's so because what it looks like is an assault weapon. I got news for these folks. A shotgun, a 30-06. They're all the same. They can all assault people when they turn to evil purposes. So basically, we know what they're really after. What they're really after is disarming the American people. That's what they really want. And J.D. Vance didn't bring this up, but Kamala Harris once said, just because you have guns in your own home doesn't mean we don't have a right to come in there and see how what you're doing with those guns. What? You have a right to come in my home and go through my home to see how I'm keeping my guns? Are you kidding me? You think she thinks any differently now? No, she doesn't. Finally, they talked about, of course, democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. And Vance hit Waltz on censorship, and Waltz had no answer because he has said, hate speech is not covered. Well, what, define hate speech for me, Waltz. Well, hate speech is what I say it is. That's the only answer you can give. Because if I say homosexuality is sin, they say, oh, that's hate speech. So you should be censored. By the way, I got to get this in, folks. Forgive me, I'm running a little bit longer than normal, but let me get this in. Before I come to the closing statements. My PAC, Stand America PAC, actually, forgive me, that's wrong. Stand, the nonprofit, is buying radio spots in Georgia, urging black Christians to vote their Christian values, right? Not endorsing Trump. We're going to do some other things through a PAC to do that, but not endorsing Trump, not endorsing J.D. Vance, not endorsing anybody, not even mentioning a candidate, just saying to Christians, vote your Christian values. Vote your Christian values. We had the largest gospel radio station in Atlanta tell us they will not run those ads. WPZE in Atlanta. WPZE in Atlanta told us they will not run those ads. Now, folks, I'm telling you, and you can go to our website, standamerica.us, and listen to the ad for yourself. All the ad said was, vote your Christian values above all else. In fact, I think I have a quote. No, I don't have a quote from the ad in the letter. So I'm not going to take time because I'm running over now. But that's all it said. Vote biblical principles above all else. And the radio station came back to us and said, our legal department said we can't run that. A gospel radio station, last time I checked, the gospel's Christian, right? Would not run an ad to Christians, not run an ad for Christians, telling Christians, vote your Christian values. You know why? Because that's not how they wanted to vote. They wanted to vote as their Democrat masters tell them to vote. So I just wanted to let you all know that WPZE in Atlanta, their telephone number is 404-765-9750. Ask them why Bishop E.W. Jackson and Stan could not run an ad that tells Christians about their Christian values when they're supposed to be a Christian station. Just wanted to get that out there. Censorship, we call it. And J.D. Vance nailed Waltz on censorship because he said hate speech, disinformation. We can't allow that. Well, we found out during COVID, disinformation is whatever you say that they don't like. And hate speech is whatever you say that they don't like, making them the censors who tell big tech, don't, no, you can't put that on, or tell a gospel radio station, oh, no, you don't run that ad. And we know it's not about misinformation, disinformation, or hate speech. It's about power. In order to keep it, you've got to be able to run your propaganda without opposition. So you amplify your propaganda and you censor, excuse me, folks, and silence the people who are giving the opposing point of view. Finally, and I'll end with this. Waltz had the nerve to say that their campaign is bringing back joy. Well, let me just say, folks, J.D. Vance talked about all the harm that Kamala Harris and Biden have done to this country in the last 4 years and went through a great list. I won't go through it. But this thing of joy, I just thought, how offensive is that? Folks, if we're looking to politicians for our joy, we better check our bona fides. Because Jesus is the source of our joy, not Kamala Harris or Tim Walz, or for that matter, Donald Trump or J.D. Vance. Jesus is the source of our joy. And if we got to look to politics or politicians for joy, we are in trouble. But these people, see, they really want to play God. They're going to give you joy. They're going to give you joy back. Really? The last time I read, Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Now ask in my name that your joy may be full. That's where our joy comes from. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the source of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. J.D. Vance won that debate hands down. Anybody who says differently is lying to themselves and lying to anybody else they say that to, because it was just clear. Waltz often looked like a deer caught in the headlights, and from my perspective, particularly with that Tiananmen Square question, really revealed himself to be a liar who has no affinity whatsoever or commitment to the truth at all. All right, folks, that's going to do it for today. Thanks so much for listening. This is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson, and you know the final word for this program. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.